We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the House of Hoosier podcast brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. I am Austin Platt. No Big Ben. Ben Howler is currently in class right now here on this Friday afternoon, but I do have a special guest joining me from inside NU, SB Nation's Northwestern site, is Bradley Locker. Bradley, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thanks so much, Austin, for having me. And, you know, we've gotten to connect over the years through, I think you came to the Northwestern Indiana game last year. I feel like the games are always exciting and spirited at the very least, and should be another good addition to that on Sunday.
Northwestern is the only team that Mike Woodson has not beaten in his time at IU. He is 0-3 against the Wildcats, hoping to change things on Sunday when the two teams tip off. They beat Iowa earlier this year. They had not beaten Fran McCaffrey, but now it's Chris Collins' Wildcats, so the final straw that Mike Woodson hopes to beat. And after an 8-day break for Indiana, the second time they've had that this year, which is quite strange. The Hoosiers will look to get back in winning ways after that really ugly loss against Purdue at Mackey Arena, in which kind of the nail in the coffin was that Zach Edey banked in three. But with that aside, Bradley, let's talk about Northwestern. You guys just lost last night. Northwestern did to Rutgers on the road at Jersey Mike's Arena. Indiana has been there as well. Kind of the big story, obviously, this week, the loss of Ty Berry, torn meniscus, out for the season. To start, kind of how valuable has he been and how much of a loss is that going to be in the last few weeks of the season?
I mean, there's no question. It's an absolutely critical loss to Northwestern. I think if you had told Wildcat fans that same thing a few years ago, especially even last year, it would have been hard to comprehend because Berry had been a very up and down player in his time at Northwestern. It kind of embodies a lot of the players. Boo Booey started the exact same way. It felt like when Berry was hot, he was a key contributor. I mean, there were certain games last year at Nebraska, at Ohio State, where Berry was fully locked in. He had 26 points against the Cornhuskers on the road last year, but he really kind of fluctuated game to game. And he is still a very heavy three-point shooter, and felt like his shot got flat. Chris Collins kind of admitted it a number of times, and down the stretch, Berry did not step up, but he had really taken some strides this year, was probably the team's second best offensive contributor behind Boo Booey. And also just kind of hurts the offensive rhythm, the floor spacing, and also a pretty strong defender as well, even when his shot wasn't falling last year. That's kind of one of the reasons why he stayed in the starting lineup. And he had that 4 years of starting experience, was part of the tournament team last year. So Northwestern definitely going to have to probably play some more defense-oriented games. The defense has not really been a strong suit of this team most of the year. But I think without Berry, we're starting to see it's kind of round into form in some ways. And Northwestern starting to be a little bit more physical with Nick Martinelli getting the start at the four. He had never made any career starts, and now he's made two in a row without Berry. But the depth on this team was never really a forte, and now it's just getting kind of determined even further. We can talk about last night's game, but that's, I think, one of the big reasons why Northwestern fell in Piscataway last night.
Northwestern will come into Sunday's game 17-8 on the year, 8-6 in the Big Ten, kind of right in that spot. And really, we know kind of there's been at least a three-headed monster in the Big Ten, Wisconsin falling a little bit from that. But Northwestern still in a race for a double bye spot, 13-1 at home. They haven't lost at home in Big Ten play. They lost to Chicago State as the only home loss, which was still pretty funny to watch. But I guess let's talk about last night. What did you see? Northwestern had a lead going into half, and then kind of Jersey Mike's Arena, the magic that Rutgers always has, came into effect again. But I guess what happened in the second half of that game?
Well, I guess let me preface this by saying that I usually, when I'm watching a sporting event, I very strongly detest the argument of, oh, the referees affected the game, because there's always a way to counteract the referees. I mean, pretty much any coach or player will tell you it's out of your control, you can't do anything about that. But I think there are certain times when a referee makes a call that just fundamentally alters the game. And that's what happened last night to Northwestern, with Ryan Langbord getting ejected for an accidental contacting of the lower region of a Rutgers player. It did not look intentional whatsoever, and I think I've seen way worse not called for a flagrant in both the college and NBA levels. It was honestly a call so bad that you kind of had to laugh at it. Northwestern had to play about 30 of the 40 minutes of that game without Ryan Langberg, and you could point to the turnovers. There were 15 of them. Collins highlighted that in the post-game presser. Northwestern was definitely sloppy on offense and very one-dimensional without Langberg, but at the same time, I think Northwestern already down Ty Berry. You go down Ryan Langberg, it kind of, everything falls on the shoulders of Boo Booey. He did everything he could, had 27 points, but Rutgers just kind of targeted him with its really strong defense, and Brooks Barnheiser had a really bad game offensively for his standards. He had 11 points, 14 rebounds, and he did hit the game-tying three. But the problem is he really contributed very little offensively. Nick Martinelli is kind of a limited ceiling offensive player. He can occasionally hit a three. That go-to kind of strange floater is his signature move per se. And it somehow works, but he did not have a big offensive night. And Justin Mullins was kind of the breakout story for Northwestern. Had really never played much of the season, was kind of a mystery why he wasn't seeing the floor. Was kind of a high-profile transfer from Denver, an intriguing guard-slash-wing player. And he had 4 blocks, 8 points after having not scored the entire year. So his contributions, I think, caught the eye of a lot of Wildcat fans and probably expect to see him get a minutes bump in the final 6 games of the regular season. But I think, to me, just, I kind of wrote about it today as well, it's hard to view this game as anything other than in a vacuum, because Northwestern's not going to be without Ryan Langberg, hopefully, at least barring an injury, the rest of the season. So it's unrealistic to think that Northwestern should go out and win or compete in every single game with Boo Booey as its only real offensive threat.
When you talk about officiating, not necessarily deciding game, you ask Indiana fans about the game last year at Northwestern when Boo Booey drove in on Trey Galloway. Was there a travel? Was there a little bit of a shove? Indiana fans tell you the Hoosiers, who put themselves down by like 20 points in the first half, could have very well won that game. That's just something that just sparked in my head. This is a very Northwestern, at least the names for the most part, very similar to last year. Chase Audige, obviously the big loss, co-defensive player of the year. But you brought in Ryan Langberg, who's been fantastic. Obviously, we know the run that Princeton made in the tournament last year. How valuable has he been, and kind of what's it been like for him, kind of almost trying to replace Audige, and how has the rest of the team kind of come back this year compared to last year?
I think going into the year, kind of Northwestern and the media and fans alike all understood that the team was going to look slightly different without Audige, and Langberg has definitely not been of the same echelon defensively, but that's not really what he's been asked to do. I think at times we've seen good defense from him. I think hustle plays have really been there. There have been a number of really shrewd plays when he's gone on, saved a loose ball and called a timeout midair, and kind of seems like you don't even know how he's able to do that. And Martinelli joked that's why he spent 4 years at Princeton, because he's a smart guy. But I think the offensive prowess and the shooting acumen is really strong for Langberg. Very good 3-point shooter. Is able to drive down in the lane, make some pretty good passes as well. So I think Northwestern's offense is definitely much better relative to last year. The defense a little weaker, as I alluded to, kind of since that Nebraska game last week. Feels like the defense has turned a corner a little bit, ironically without Berry. But it's still a defense that it ranks probably in the bottom half of the Power Five. I think it was 80 something in KenPom efficiency. And I think just closeouts, there are lots of defensive lapses and rotations where shooters just left wide open, and rebounding on the defensive end has been a big problem as well, pretty much most of the year. So I think those are areas where Indiana could potentially try to capitalize against this Northwestern team.
Yeah, well, Indiana, we've seen this year, there are times defensively they look like a great team, like ones we've seen in previous years, and then there are other times where it's like, how is that guy open? And, you know, the beginning of the year, especially Indiana, the non-conference games, they really should have won. They really didn't, because they're leaving guys open. Switches were an issue. Defensive rebounding, even with a seven-footer in Cleo Ware, has been an issue. Indiana is such an odd team, I guess, in the way they're constructed, because we've seen Cleo Ware and Malik Renew. Renew's taken a huge step this year, where obviously a guy who's projected to go in the first round, or at least was, maybe fallen a little bit, but he's been banged up. Obviously had that knee scare against Ohio State and that comeback win. But how does Northwestern going to fare? We know Matt Nicholson is their main big man, but how do you think you're going to try and defend Indiana, assuming Khalil Ware and Malik Renew are both ready to go come Sunday?
Yeah, I think it was really fascinating to see what Northwestern did against Nebraska with Rank Mass, who's been one of the better big men in the country, kind of as an unsung guy. And Collins put Brooks Barnheiser, who's only 6'7", on Mass. And Barnheiser had a really strong performance, was very active, was not afraid to take some contact, but avoiding the fouls is kind of the big key for the Northwestern big men. It feels like whenever Matthew Nicholson gets in foul trouble. Then we start to see Luke Hunger, and Hunger has finally started to emerge a little bit this year after pretty much missing all of last year with a broken foot. And Hunger has more offensive versatility. He's probably a little bit more athletic than Nicholson, but not as good of a defender at the same time. And the third big man in that equation is Blake Preston. I think Northwestern fans kind of grimace a little bit when Preston enters the game because he's very prone to committing not the smartest of fouls and does not really offer a lot offensively. He did have a kind of solid showing last night, though, with a putback and some rebounds. But I think for Northwestern, it's probably going to – if Northwestern wants Nicholson to be a rim protector and a pretty strong defender and then also a dunk and lob threat on the other offensive end of that, Hunger can kind of stress the floor a little bit more. But I would guess we probably could see Barnheiser defending one of those bigger Indiana guys, and that also maybe Nick Martinelli too, now that Martinelli's kind of solidified himself in the starting lineup. But going to need those three of Barnheiser, Martinelli, and Nicholson to be pretty strong defensively.
Absolutely. When I think of the Big Ten, especially this year, people say the conference is down. You know, we know Purdue, Illinois are two really solid teams. Wisconsin falling off a little bit, but still in the top 25. I think of, you know, home court advantage this year, it feels like has been so strong for the most part. And Northwestern, I feel like, is one of those teams. They play some of their best basketball at home. Boo Boo, he's got to be the best point guard on his home court, maybe in the country, the way he's played this year. But on the road, as we talked before, Northwestern has really struggled, especially as of late. What's been the biggest difference, home versus road? We know Indiana has not been great on the road this year. Only two true home wins or true road wins. And obviously the home losses, you know, a couple blowouts, especially the one against Purdue is the one that comes to mind. But I guess for Northwestern, in your mind, what's been the biggest difference, home versus road?
Yeah, Northwestern has lost its last five road games. It's not emerged victorious away from Walsh Ryan since January 10th at Penn State. And I mean, yeah, there have been some pretty tough opponents in there. Wisconsin, Nebraska, Purdue, Minnesota, all really good teams, very much could make the tournament. And I mean, very few teams have gone into those buildings and won. We've seen that throughout the year, whether it's in December or in February. But I think the thing that's still really nagging at Collins is the fact that Northwestern has had a chance in all of those last five games. You look at Purdue, Boo Boo, he gets the chance for the game-winning shot. He doesn't get it to go. Northwestern goes to overtime and is just decimated at the big position with the fouls. And Edie just destroyed the Wildcats in overtime, and that was kind of the dagger. And then at Minnesota, same thing, another tough overtime loss. Where the Wildcats seemed to blow a lead. And then even last night, Northwestern was up pretty comfortably, but then Rutgers went on two runs of 10-plus nothing runs for the Scarlet Knights, and it felt like Northwestern, when it needed to get a stop, was unable to do so. Even though Barnheiser hit the three, Andre Hyatt hit a three that gave Rutgers a lead that the Scarlet Knights never relinquished. So for Northwestern, I'm not really sure if it's a practice or preparation thing or just kind of an execution when they go on the floor in these tough road environments, which, as you talked about, I feel like every place in the Big Ten is pretty tough to play, even if it's Michigan. Like Michigan beat Wisconsin earlier this year in Ann Arbor. So I think I can't really pinpoint why it's not working for Northwestern, but for whatever reason, the Wildcats look fine and then they kind of fall apart at the end of games. I think, granted, you have to look at last night as an exception. I don't think Northwestern even gets in that situation if Langborg plays his usual 35 plus minutes. And assuming he's at Indiana, I think I'm not sure it will be as close necessarily. But I think for Northwestern, if it wants to accomplish its goals of not only making the tournament, but having some confidence going into March and also having a seed above an 8 or 9, then getting at least one of these next three road wins is going to be pivotal.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We know Indiana, historically a tough place to play. I know Penn State completely killed Indiana for the last over 25 minutes of that game or so. When we think of Northwestern, and at least just as of late, kind of, what do you think Chris Collins' goal is? Especially, let's talk about, I guess, first, the quick turnaround. Obviously, hard game, a tough loss. So you got to fly across the country. You come back and then get ready. How do you think Northwestern, you know, we've seen them tired at times this year, a lot of overtime games, a lot of close, tight games. Indiana gets 8 days off in comparison. How do you think that's going to fare?
I mean, I think Indiana definitely has the advantage in terms of rest and the element of that. And Northwestern has kind of fallen victim to that at the past and past games this season. But I also think one thing Collins has really internalized as a coach and compared to his early years, especially now in his 11th season in Evanston, is the ability to flush games and move on. It felt like in 2019, 2020, those years when Northwestern completely fell flat on its face, was the main reason was that one loss would turn into two, and then it would be a month without a win, and you kind of felt like Northwestern would be in games but could never finalize them. And now it feels like Collins understands that you need to just move on from an individual game result, no matter how good it is, no matter how bad it is, and it has definitely trickled down to the players as well. So I think Northwestern's players are probably a little bitter about last night, but they're probably going to try to use that as motivation. And I think if there's any team in the Big Ten that is able to, I don't know, I guess try to turn things around on such a quick notice, I feel like Northwestern would probably be close to the top of that list.
That's obviously what makes things a little bit scarier for Indiana fans, and even a shorthanded Northwestern team still has a pretty good shot of beating Indiana. And I think years ago we'd have said, oh, this is a game you don't look over. But then yet again, you think to last year, Indiana, they were tired after the game against Iowa when Northwestern came and beat Indiana Assembly Hall in overtime long, or it was no, just a loss. Indiana completely collapsed against Iowa last year on the road. You come back in a short turnaround, and Indiana, it was a 1-point loss in the end, but it felt like more like double digits. Just the way Northwestern played against the Hoosiers. I'm curious, now that Ty Berry's out, obviously everyone has to step up, but you would think Boo Booey has got to be that main guy coming back for an extra year when people thought maybe he wasn't going to return to Northwestern. What's the key for him? Kind of what's been the key for him on the road? And we think Trey Galloway probably is going to guard Boo Booey, but I guess what's the key for Double B to kind of go off and get his, you know, 20, 30 points that gives Northwestern a pretty good shot of winning?
I think one of the most amazing things about watching Bowie evolve from last year to this year, which it didn't really feel like there was much room for improvement, but he found it. And the 3-point shooting, I think, has been absolutely huge for him this year. I think a good number of his points have come off of efficiency from three. He hit, I believe it was 7 threes at Purdue. I think he had 5 more or 6 more last night in Rutgers, and that's become such a huge part of his game, in part because defenses have to key in on Bowie and making sure he doesn't get involved in the actions and in screens and running the offense. And teams that have had success against Northwestern, I think back to that Minnesota game, I believe it was last week, two weeks ago, it's kind of getting the ball out of Bowie's hands, making somebody else run the offense. And what Northwestern in an ideal sense would do is kind of run an initial play. If it doesn't work, let Bowie find something late in the shot clock. And that seems to have been the formula for the last 2 years. But I think Bowie understands now that he can't necessarily hold on to the ball as long. And that's why he's slipping through the screens and taking a quick trigger shot. But I think he's going to look to do much of that. He's only 19 points shy of breaking the all-time program scoring record, which obviously a massive accomplishment. He's probably the greatest player in Northwestern history, all things considered. His career arc has been really remarkable to watch. And the fact that he's now emerged as one of the best point guards in the country is pretty crazy to think about, given kind of how wild his play was when he first came to Evanston. Lots of very bad shots that were made. It never really seemed like a floor general. His passing has gotten a lot better. Decision-making has been smarter. And again, I think it's just the veteran experience you have to attribute to him as well, that now in his 5th season, I think a lot of college basketball programs and fans, Fred Hoiberg joked about it, like that he just wants Bowie to graduate and leave Evanston because he's been terrorizing teams for so long. But I think it's just a testament to how good he is, and the fact that he still gets 27 points when he's the only offensive threat. I think kind of the media jokes that Bowie will have the quietest 20-point game you've ever seen, but he'll hit 2 quick threes, get some nice scoop layups, the floater also. Indiana's going to have to pay really good attention to. But yeah, there's no question, as you said, the offense has to run through Bowie, and if it doesn't, Northwestern will probably find itself in trouble.
I'm curious, obviously, Northwestern's goal this year probably to make the NCAA tournament again. Obviously, last year, just the second time in program history they did that. They even won a game in the tournament. I don't think many people gave them a shot, but they, you know, got to the same point Indiana did last year, even though Indiana was supposed to have a special season with Trace Jackson Davis and the group they had last year. I'm curious, is there a worry in Evanston at this team, you know, without Ty Berry, might completely falter down the stretch considering the way they've played on the road and the way the schedule lines up? I'm curious, kind of, anyone nervous in Northwestern that this team isn't going to make the tournament? And I guess what should be the goal record-wise for them in the Big Ten as this season winds down the next 3 weeks or so?
I would say it probably depends which person you ask. I think, at least me personally, I'm not really that anguished about things. I think the fact that Northwestern already has 8 conference wins is, it's a pretty good sign. And you look at that resume as well, 2 top 10 wins, took Purdue pretty much as well as anybody has in Mackey Arena. Probably should have won that game before it even went to overtime. Wins over Michigan State and Dayton and Nebraska at home. Just complete thrashing of those teams as well. And those are teams that are going to make the tournament and have been pretty good all year. I think the concern is kind of, yeah, what happens down the stretch and 3 tough road games as well. I would think Northwestern probably finishes 4-2 in its final 6 games, which I think that, I mean, 12 conference wins, it's hard to argue with that as a resume of getting into the tournament. I think Bart Torvik had Northwestern over 63% of still getting in. And of course, you don't want to be near that bubble. And I think if Northwestern loses on Sunday, and it's 2 straight road losses, and people start to wonder, well, how good is this team actually without Ty Berry? But I think Northwestern, when you look at the full body of work, it would be pretty hard to leave out this team, barring kind of an unexpected loss. And home schedule also is very favorable, which you talked about. Northwestern has just been pretty much steamrolling everybody at home this year, no matter who comes into Welsh Ryan. And dealing with Michigan, Iowa, and Minnesota is not the toughest stretch of 3 teams, especially given that those would be the last games of Bowie's career at home. Going to want to go out victorious in all 3 of those. And I think Northwestern, there's a chance, might need to win a game in the Big Ten tournament to feel fully comfortable with its spot. I think last year going into the tournament when Wildcats lost to Penn State in the first game that they played after getting the number 2 seed, it was definitely a heartbreaking way for the tournament to end, but you kind of understood it wasn't going to have implications on their tournament seeding in the end. I think this year might be a little bit of a different story in Minneapolis, but again, barring kind of a complete shock, I don't think this team is in any real jeopardy of not making the tournament.
We've seen it in previous years, at least I think to 2 years ago when Indiana was on the bubble. And, you know, obviously they wanted that nice tournament run in the Big Ten tournament. And many people thought it'd be good enough to get them out of Dayton, and they still ended up there. And obviously that whole travel catastrophe was the reason why they got blown out, among many other reasons, out of St. Mary's. Man, I hear the word thrashing and demolishing. I'm like, Indiana doesn't have that, you know, really, you know, signature win quite yet, especially at home. Indiana has not won many games by 15, 20 points as they have in previous years. They played well against Maryland at the beginning of the year in the first Big Ten game. That was a double-digit win, but they were up by a lot more than they won by in the first half. They played well against Minnesota early in January, but, you know, probably should have won that game by more. You know, their best win, Indiana, was on the road in the Ohio State game where they came back from 18 down, and Ohio State somehow still a quad one win. They're without a head coach. They just fired Chris Holtman, but they're still at the bottom of the Big Ten, and Indiana's only road wins are against Michigan and Ohio State. So the fact that Northwestern has that signature and has the big wins at home, something Indiana is really, really lacking. And at this point, it's a really uphill battle for Indiana if they want to get anywhere close to the NCAA tournament. So it seems like Northwestern is in a pretty good spot. I'm curious about Matt Nicholson, at least players. This is the final guy I want to touch on. In previous years, you know, kind of not necessarily regarded as a big man guy should worry about, but he's, you know, obviously Chris Collins still plays him like a normal 5, but how much has he grown and helped this team? And obviously he's gotten bigger as well. He's much bigger than Khalil, where, you know, kind of the guys are the same height, but there's a significant weight advantage on Nicholson's side. So how do you think he is going to, you know, go up against Ware, presumably, unless Chris Collins switched things up? And how have you seen him improve over the last few years?
I think it's kind of amusing, actually, to think about what's happened over the course of this year. Nicholson really came on pretty strong last year. Was not really sure what the center position was going to look like with Ryan Young transferring to Duke and Robbie Barron, kind of a stretch 4, never really had been a center. But Nicholson really caught the favor of the Wildcats coaching staff, pretty much was a starter most of the way. And I think it was the leading score for the Wildcats against UCLA in the round of 32. But he's never really been a huge offensive threat or danger for teams. It's more of executing screens and setting screens, handing the ball off to Bowie, catching the ball on inbounds, and playing strong defense as well. But I think it's funny because at the start of this year, Nicholson was actually pretty bad for his own standards, and they're not very high to begin with. He was really struggling in terms of rebounding. His offensive production was dropping off even from its low point to begin with. And a lot of fans wanted Nicholson to be benched. Collins actually did that, starting Luke Hunger after the Wildcats were eviscerated at Illinois. And Hunger started a few games, and then the Wildcats went back to Nicholson. Collins was kind of leaning on what he said his veteran experience and just bigger size and frame overall. And I think this team is probably at its best when Nicholson is the starting five. I think Hunger's kind of viewed as the prototypical center of the future with Nicholson in his fourth year, uncertain to return for next year. But I mean, he's definitely one of the more important players, especially if Northwestern gets matched up with a team that has dominant bigs in the NCAA tournament. And you talked about Renu and Ware for Indiana. I think Nicholson is going to have to, as I said, avoid, probably stay under three fouls or no more than three fouls. When he gets in that four range, then we start to see Preston and Hunger come in, and they're just not as strong of defenders. So I think Nicholson has had kind of a circuitous path this year. He feels like he's kind of back to where he was in terms of play style and strength last year, although there were some really real alarm bells being sounded in Evanston about Nicholson and kind of the big man triumvirate so far in the early part of the year.
We've seen at times Malik Renu has dealt with foul trouble as well. So it's interesting how the bigs are going to fare against each other. I ask every guest that comes on this podcast, we always talk about the Big Ten as a whole and the lack of success lately in the NCAA tournament. In your mind, kind of what's the reason why the Big Ten? Is it the officiating? Is it the way the schedule is? I'm curious for someone who is as smart and knows so much basketball as you do, kind of what is your reasoning for why the Big Ten really just has underperformed for really without a real good excuse in the past few NCAA tournaments?
Might be a cop-out answer, but I think you have to look at Purdue. I mean, getting two straight number one seeds, you lose in the round of 64 every single time. And my friends and I were kind of talking about this yesterday, that this Purdue team definitely kind of has a different feel to it. The guard play is a lot better. And I think people have realized that when you have one dominant big man, one dominant player, it can only lead you so far. And I mean, if Purdue and Fairleigh Dickinson have played 100 times, that Purdue probably wins like 98 or 99 times. But Purdue has been on the wrong end of that, I don't know, simulation per se. And that's how March can work. It's just a one game sample, and so much can happen in that one game. So much that's unexpected can happen, which is why March Madness is one of the most exciting sporting events of the year. But I think also Illinois has very much underperformed with Brad Underwood's team. It feels like that's kind of a yearly exit that's too early. So, I mean, maybe it's because I'm not particularly fond of those programs and I kind of enjoy watching them lose early. Maybe that's why, but. And yeah, it's hard to have a scientific reason or a rational reason. I don't know if I could blame the schedule. I don't know if I could blame the officiating, which definitely seems questionable some nights at best. Other nights, I mean, Collins never really wants to say anything that's too negative about the officials for his own pocketbook's sake. But I think generally the Big Ten pretty much has talent and is a pretty deep conference. I think you talked about there's not really a lot of super vaunted teams at the top of the conference this year. Maybe that helps in the long run because it kind of feels like anybody could win 1 through 14 on any given night. So maybe the Big Ten's more battle tested this year per se. And but at the same time, the lack of road success is kind of damning about teams' inability to win away from home. And you're not gonna have those home crowds most likely when you're playing in March Madness. So it's gonna be fascinating to see what happens. I think I will probably pick Purdue to win at least one game as much as I don't want to, but I don't know. I think it's kind of until these teams go out and actually go deep in March Madness, I'm not going to be convinced that they're going to be able to do it.
Well, the good thing is, it comes to officiating. I think Chris Collins won over everyone's hearts with that epic rant he had at the end of that Purdue game. You mentioned kind of the way the game just snowballed and the way he went out, the I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. And then, goes over, shakes Matt Painter's hand, hugs Zach Edey, and then fires up the crowd. So that will be a solid picture in everyone's mind for years to come. Finally, Bradley, you got a score prediction for Sunday, Indiana and Northwestern. The Hoosiers, it feels like I said this during the Ohio State game. Indiana, I don't think now it's possible the way they've played lately, or especially the way they lost to Purdue, but it felt like at one point Indiana could have gotten a double bye if they played well down the stretch, or if Indiana falters and played like they have most of the year, this could be a Wednesday team. So obviously Northwestern, they're going to play on either Thursday or Friday, but give me a score prediction for Sunday.
Well, I mean, given Northwestern's road woes, as I talked about, and just a tough loss at Rutgers, I would be inclined to say that Northwestern would lose. But I kind of entered this week thinking, it's based on the law of averages, and that Northwestern is a better team than both Rutgers and Indiana. The Wildcats would win one game. So I feel like I have to stick to that. I think Northwestern finds a way to win this game. I think Indiana, as you said, has kind of just looked out of sorts and as a very distant follower of the team this year. I mean, I expected a drop off. I don't think I expected it to be this bad out in Bloomington. the loss of talent has been real. But for some reason, Collins has kind of has had Woodson's number. Even the Northwestern team, I remember covering the game, I believe it was 2022, when Northwestern was really not very good at all that year and still beat a ranked Indiana team with Jackson Davis. I think, granted, about six Indiana players were suspended in that game. So it wasn't a full Indiana group out there in Welsh Ryan. But I don't know. I think Collins just kind of enjoys the notion of Indiana's a blue blood and proving people wrong every time. But I think Bowie probably breaks the Northwestern scoring record on Sunday. I think Brooks Barnheiser back in Indiana probably going to want to have a better game. And Ryan Langworg, of course, actually playing more than 10 minutes will be pretty significant. So I'll say Northwestern wins 81-76.
Certainly a high-scoring game at Indiana. At times this year, as I've said, offensively they look great, and then other times offensively they look like they can't score, and it's the same on the defensive end. Indiana, this is odd. The second time Indiana has had 8 days off between games, and the last time was after they lost to the Kohl Center, which is just a yearly tradition now at this point for Indiana basketball since we've been alive. And then they went to Illinois 8 days later and played one of their better games of the season and could have very well won that game. It was, you know, basically tied with a minute left. In the last minute, Indiana capitulated, missed free throws, et cetera, et cetera. So I will say Indiana played their best basketball, at least at times this year, when they've had rest. And I think that, along with the Ty Berry absence and the fact that Northwestern may be a little bit out of sorts, you could definitely see a frustration kind of comeback game, and Northwestern kind of piles it on. But I'll take Indiana to win this game. It kind of feels like a similar way to the way they beat Iowa. I'll say they win a 77-74. I think it'll be another close game. But this time, Indiana takes down Northwestern, and Mike Woodson, maybe I'll say he gets a win over the other 13 teams as a head coach in his third season, and he finally checks that final box. I didn't think when he first came into Indiana that Northwestern, of all teams, would be the last one that he's got the chance to beat. But that can all change Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Northwestern, Indiana face off at Assembly Hall. Bradley, thanks so much for coming on. Wish I could see you on Sunday. But, hey, I mean, I'm hoping for a game that was as close as the one last year we saw at the Welsh Ryan Arena. I hope we're treated to another good one.
Thanks so much, Adam, for having me, Austin. I think we're in store for another good one. It just feels like these two teams, they enjoy playing each other. And I think, yeah, it should be a fun matchup, a lot at stake for both sides for sure.
We'll have to see. Who knows? Maybe there's another meeting down the road in Minneapolis. But for Ben Holler and I, will be back next week to talk some more Indiana basketball. But for Bradley Locker, I'm Austin Platt, signing off here on the House of Hoosier podcast. We'll talk to you next week.